Welcome back to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll visit a new exhibit in Rehoboth Beach that explores how significant art can be to the personal healing process. But for now, we'll stay in Delaware and travel a few miles down the coast towards Dewey Beach, where this week town officials have been debating whether or not to ban smoking on the beach. And while statistics tell us that Americans are becoming more and more health conscious, there are others who believe that beach towns run the risk of turning away their potential customers who happen to smoke. So joining me to talk about this is Diane Hansen. She's the mayor of Dewey Beach. Diane, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
You know, you look up and down the coast in Delaware, banning smoking in the resort or on the beach or in parks. This is not a new topic. You know, Fenwick Island, Bethany Beach, Rehoboth, they all have some sort of restriction on smoking.
Yes.
In
and
their
so
particular
do the state parks as well.
That's correct. So Tell me why this conversation sparked up here in Dewey. And how far is Dewey Beach willing to go?
Well, it was promulgated by requests by several property owners who have been actually asking me for this for years. And up till now, we've just been too busy with other things. So this year seemed like a good year to test the waters. We proposed it at a meeting in March, just brought up the idea and said, is this worth moving forward? And most people seem to agree. So the next month, we had a proposed ordinance that basically allowed for designated areas where smoking would be allowed on the beach. But since we proposed that, and it's gotten a lot of press coverage, I've had numerous people write to me saying they want a total ban. So I think, you know, after a discussion Saturday that, you know, we're probably headed in that direction of a total ban in the town as, you know, on the beach as well as in the parks. We only have one little park, and it's basically a children's park with, you know, slides and swings and things like that. Is obviously for children, so it would make sense to ban it there as well if we're going to ban it on the beach.
And that would certainly make Dewey one of the most restrictive as far as smoking, because you look at Bethany. Bethany has banned it on the beach, but there are, you know, nine points on the beach where you can go and you can smoke. Will Dewey, is the plan, I guess, at this stage to just ban everything outright, no smoking sections? And if that's the case, do you worry that you may, you know, alienate some of your guests who come to Dewey each and every year who may smoke?
Mm-hmm. Well, that is always a possibility. However, the things that I have heard, including in the Wilmington News Journal, they had an article about this whole issue on, I think it was last Sunday or Monday, and front page coverage, and they interviewed Michael Bloomberg, who's the mayor of New York, and he said at the time that they proposed a ban on smoking in either the bars or the beaches, which they've done both. Both times people made that same issue, you know, that it will affect tourism. And in fact, he said it's gone up 47% since mm-hmm. they banned it. And people that have asked about this, there are some that are worried about tourism, but most people are saying they just want to smoke on the beach themselves if they're smokers. When I ask other people that are in favor of it, well, are you worried about this affecting tourism? A lot of them have said they think it'll help tourism, that people will come here more. You know, that there's a large percentage of people want a total ban, and those are the people that'll come, you know. And the others, they're inconvenienced a little, but they can still go off the dunes and smoke there at the end of the street.
I remember a few years ago when Bethany was considering this and Rehoboth mm-hmm. was considering some sort of a smoking restriction, that mm-hmm. they were looking and pointing to other resorts across the country who have utilized mm-hmm. this, and they found that, just as you mentioned, tourism actually went up a little bit. For your deliberation here, you know, you don't really have to look very far, just a few miles down the road mm-hmm. or even up the road to places where it's been working.
Right.
I guess the big question in my mind is, how do you plan to enforce it? You know, last year you and I had a conversation about the new noise ordinances. There were questions about how you were going to enforce those. With any sort of new law comes the question of how you will enforce it. What's your plan initially here?
At this point, our plan will be discussed in May, but what I would propose is that if there is an issue with smoking or someone is smoking, that whoever it is, whether it's a code enforcement officer or another person on the beach or a lifeguard, that they would just go over to that person and say, are you aware that there's no smoking on the beach? And hopefully then this person would comply and put their cigarette material out or smoking material, whatever it might be, and that's the end of it. But if they refuse, then I guess they'd have to call the police, and then the police would maybe warn them or either that or give them a ticket. And if they got really obnoxious, then, you know, I guess they can arrest them if they have to. But that's not our intent. Our intent is just that hopefully people will just be reminded and they will comply. But we'll have a backup in case they don't.
We've been speaking to Diane Hansen. She's the mayor of Dewey Beach. We're talking about whether or not Dewey will pass a law that will restrict or perhaps ban smoking on their beach. Diane, always nice to talk to you. Best of luck, and thanks for being here on Coastal Connection.
Thank you very much. Look forward to being on again.
They made their promises, then they walked away. Farewell, their friends are gone.
We move now to a new exhibit that explores how art can actually be quite therapeutic. Healing from a traumatic experience can be a very personal process. What helps one person may not be helpful at all to someone else. But making and viewing art seems to be therapeutic for many people. And with that in mind, the Rehoboth Art League is teaming up with the organization Survivors of Abuse and Recovery, or SOAR. They're collaborating on an exhibition and series of classes around the theme Art is Healing and Healing is an Art. Last week I swung by the opening reception of the exhibition to check out the artwork and learn more about art therapy and the role it can play in helping people recover from trauma or abuse. It was on the spectacular and picturesque grounds of the Rehoboth Art League's property that I met up with these four wonderfully talented and pleasant women.
Sheila Bravo, Executive Director of the Rehoboth Art League.
I'm Megan Doyle. I work with SOAR, and I'm also an artist participating in the show.
Valerie Merrick, Executive Director of SOAR.
Kim Klebe, Education Director, Rehoboth Art League.
And they led me around the exhibition, and we talked about what prompted this collaboration between the Art League and SOAR, and what they hope people will take away from the exhibit. Valerie Merrick started by telling me how it all came together.
SOAR's been looking to bring our services, or at least bring more attention to our services in Sussex County for quite some time. We are a nonprofit organization that provides mental health services for people who have been sexually abused and assaulted. And we thought the Rehoboth Art League, another nonprofit, was a great fit for us in bringing our message forward. And we hoped in our combined efforts we could focus more attention and hopefully bring more victims into treatment.
I guess traditionally when you think about treatment for abuse and people going through a recovery process, art is not something that you would think of first. Well, Megan, explain how the artistic process can be often a healing process for people that have been through abusive situations.
Well, the two, to me, go very naturally together. I worked as an art instructor and practiced as an artist previous to becoming a therapist. And I think the therapeutic process and healing process and the creative process share a lot in that they're both a process. They're both about creation, finding new things, allowing things to emerge, discovery, expression. So I think the two actually work really well together. Some of the individual works here actually were created by individuals practicing, you know, that process of healing as well, and really reflect that.
When you first pitch that to somebody who's been through, you know, abuse in their life, and they're trying to go through those first steps of healing, that they think it's not going to work for them, and then perhaps after they finish the painting, they realize that it does.
Right, precisely. And that's exactly part of the process that is so valuable about creating, is trusting that process, trying something new, something different, pushing your own limits and discovering you're capable of things you didn't know you quite were. More often than not, people are a little intimidated by the creative process. Their response is, I'm not an artist, I can't make art. But it's not about art, it's about the experience.
Sheila Bravo, I want to turn to you for a second, because the Rehoboth Art League has been in this community for 75 years. You guys are celebrating that anniversary this year. What about this collaboration and this project and this exhibit really appealed to you as something that not only attracted you as somebody who loves art and is a purveyor of art, but also what this community would support?
Well, the Art League's mission is to teach, inspire, and preserve the arts in here in Southern Delaware. And we have, since our beginning, have partnered with a variety of organizations, both other art organizations as well as health and human service organizations, to make art accessible and to help it touch people's lives. And I was really compelled by this concept when we started talking about it, because art, whether it's a healing process, it's a spiritual process, it's emotional. We see it with young kids when we work with our outreach program. Art is a way to express yourself when you can't always do it verbally. There's just a tremendous range of styles and talent and expression. And here at this exhibit, several of the artists also provided their reflection. Wow. On why they submitted this work of art as part of the show.
So Valerie, as we walk around the room here, there's paintings and drawings hung up all over this room. Show me some of these works and kind of walk me through what each of these works represents in the context of this exhibit.
Well, I'm not sure I can do that, but I can speak on behalf of the two that were accepted to the show that were my mother's. My mother has been dead for 5 years now, and she had all these great works still stuck in her artist pad because she had rejected them for one reason or another because they weren't good enough to hang, apparently. So I chose this one because it's a representation of a place she used to go to with my father, who had suffered very serious depression. My father was a giant in the pharmaceutical industry, and he got given the golden handshake when he was in his late 50s, I believe, and what followed that was, a number of months where he was so depressed he just didn't want to get out of bed. And I think when he returned to the world, he didn't really return in full because he escaped into the woods to go trout fishing hours on end. And so what my mother did to try and reconnect with him and reconcile their relationship is she just kind of packed up her paints and followed him into the forest. So I think those were her first experiences with plein air painting. And she actually turned out to be quite the artist. This is one of her very early works, and
It's a lovely watercolor.
And rudimentary, but I submitted it because I think this was a time of healing for them. This was one of their serenity places along the way.
And looking to the one just next to it, which is a photo, also called Serenity, beautiful sunset picture over the bay. When you look at these pictures, do you think that your parents found that serenity that they were looking for, or do you think this embodies what they both dreamed for and dreamed of?
I think they found some serenity there. I really do. I think it was a good move possibly to take off for the forest, and it eventually helped him re-enter the world, and he achieved what he wanted to after that.
Yeah. So you said that some of the artists have provided sort of short explanations for their work.
This piece was actually created by an individual who has been affected by sexual abuse, and pictured are, a reflection in a mirror with bright red lips. It says, "The survivor's body with words scripted on flesh represents the body's journey through beauty, pain, love, and shame. Somaticizing and self-blame during survivor's process of healing. The image, the art of survival, represents full exposure, while the image flips represents a hidden shame behind a polished reflection."
Wow. So this painting we're looking at, this is one of the larger paintings in the room. And it's kind of an ethereal painting with the woman. You can only see her from the back, and it looks like she's spinning or in some sort of a tornado or a whirlwind. Mm-hmm. Tell me about this painting.
Well, Ellen Rice created this, and it's entitled Freedom. She writes, "Freedom, like the first three paintings in my Continuing Strength of Woman series, came to me as a mental vision in a moment of quiet, prayerful listening for answers." She says, "At the time, I'd been feeling heavily burdened by multiple extremely difficult life challenges, things I had no certain answers for. I wondered what it would be like to feel that kind of freedom, though I certainly didn't want to lose my home to a storm. In the creative process of painting, just as in my personal life, I had to let go, in this case, of a preconceived idea for the painting to be what it was meant to be. What could you let go of that would give you the healing joy of complete, absolute, inexplicable freedom?"
And, as you listen to that and then you look around at each one of these paintings on the wall, you realize that each one of the artists, came to some sort of epiphany or some sort of a realization about their own experiences after creating these paintings. What do you hope that people, when they come to this exhibit, walk out of this room and out of this building with?
Many things. I think it's my desire that maybe some thoughts will be provoked. Some emotions and feelings stirred, and maybe a sense of community, a sense of togetherness, that even though we have our own journeys and our own trials and our own successes,
we share a common experience as well.
A few minutes later, Ellen Rice, the artist whose work we were just admiring and speaking about, walked into the room. After a quick hello and exchange of pleasantries, we stood in front of her painting, and I asked her what she sees when she stares at it now, and what she hopes others might see when they look at it.
It's a woman who is totally free, joyful. Mm-hmm. What do you see when you look at it? What do you get out of it? That's what I usually ask people, and I get interesting answers.
Well, when I look at it, you know, because the vantage point is looking at the woman from behind. You can't see her face. And it looks as if she's spinning, and that blissful feeling of when you're 4 years old and you're just spinning around in circles, and how much fun that just spinning can be.
You've got it when there's no weight on your shoulders.
Yeah.
That's what I was after.
So for an exhibit like this, which... You know, every one of these paintings, I know not everybody is a professional artist. Some people are doing this not to make money as artists. They're doing this as part of a healing process. Mm-hmm. Talk about, for you as an artist, how valuable it can be to just kind of hash out your own thoughts and feelings and experiences to put paint on canvas.
A lot of times I paint things that are just relaxing to paint. I paint ocean. I paint mountains. I paint children and animals. That's all relaxing. This painting is part of a series of, so far, four, almost five pieces about the strength of woman. Mm-hmm. And they're all things that originated out of prayer, just listening. Initially, all of these things were in great detail. They were surrealistic. Mm-hmm. There were papers. There were photographs. A lot of different things, but by the time I got done doing all that, it did not feel right. And I wound up taking sandpaper and sanding off everything and having to rebuild the background, but then it felt free. And I realized in that process that not only in life do we need to let go of things that are holding us back, we need to let go of the memories of those things, our concepts of those things. Totally let go of any image of them in our mind, in our minds. And so that to me was healing.
Yeah. As it can be freeing to just let it go and put it onto the canvas, you know, is the hope that people who walk through this exhibit over the course of the next month will be able to perhaps let it go of their own thing by seeing it.
Absolutely. And a lot of times while I'm painting, I don't feel very free. Mm-hmm. I concentrate too much, I hyper focus on things.
Right.
And then sometimes I backtrack like I did on that painting. And that was probably the worst example of that, where I actually sanded a large portion of the painting off.
Wow. But now when you look at that painting, you know, I got the sense that you're extremely proud and satisfied with
it. I'm very happy with it, yeah.
Well, I wish you the best of luck, and thank you so much
for
chatting with me. That was artist Ellen Rice. We also heard from Sheila Bravo and Kim Klaibe of the Rehoboth Art League, and Megan Doyle and Valerie Merrick of the Survivors of Abuse and Recovery Organization, or SOAR as it's commonly known. The Art is Healing and Healing is an Art exhibition will run through April 28th at the Rehoboth Art League. For more information, click to our website, wamucoast.org. We'll take a short break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Coastal Connection on 88.3 in Ocean City, Maryland. I'm Brian Rousseau.